Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We wish to see Jesus. Anybody know what he looks like? I mean, he could be here. We wish to see Jesus. Jesus tells us stories of what it would look like. "Do you want to see me? Then you must die as a seed dies. Do you want to see me? Then you must hate your life in this world with all the security and comfort you have accumulated." Ouch. "You want to see me? Then you must follow me and serve me." None of that's real easy to do, is it? Because Jesus is talking about a life filled with risk. You know, as the sun shines and the winter breaks and the snow is slowly melting, but going away, I think of the farmers who are ready and eager to get started again for a new plant. Farmers, gardeners, these are people who know all about risk. Every year, seeds are put into the ground not knowing what conditions will greet them. Will there be enough rain? Will there be rain at the right time? Will the wind and the sun of summer wither the crops? All questions that are asked once the farmer has risked the seed, willing to let it die so that it might germinate and create life. To not risk the seed, to keep it in the bin, is to give in to the urge of safety, and by doing so, receiving nothing. This is what Jesus is talking about. We must be willing to die, knowing that only by doing so can life result. Watching farmers and gardeners is one thing, but Jesus is getting personal here. Those who love their life and see their creation of life as all important will ultimately lose it. It's only those who hate their life in this world to the point of being willing to let it die will have a harvest of new life and a harvest of hope. What does that death look like for us? Well, who's asking us to see Jesus? Hoping that in your life, my life, our lives, that we would display Jesus with absolute clarity. What would such surrender look like? What abundant crop might come from the planting of your and my seed, our lives, as we have come to know them? Are we willing to take this risk? Remember the farmer. Remember the little seeds the farmer puts into the soil, expecting a profusion of color in the flower beds, crops in the field. What would dying to our lives look like? What would dying look like to the Good Shepherd congregation? Many of you, some have come to me, but many, I'm sure, are having great concerns and even fears in this time of upcoming transition. Need I remind you that that's not what the people whom God will send here are looking for? They're not looking for you to be frightful and fearful. The people we are hoping to capture with the gospel message are as desperate for hope and meaning as you are right now. What are we willing to put to death in ourselves so that they might see Jesus? You know, one of the critiques of mainline churches today is that we're not well equipped to lead the unchurched to seeing Jesus. Too often, congregations are only concerned about themselves and their own members. That is the indictment. Are we willing to die so that a harvest can result? What would the planting of us look like? What does following and serving Jesus look like for us in this community and this neighborhood? What does following and serving look like for us in the world in which we find ourselves daily? A world where the news reports terror, war, corruption constantly. What needs to die to be planted in order that life can result? It's a personal message. Jesus is being very personal right now. And so Jesus answers the question by telling us of what will happen to him. He's troubled, the text said. But he tells us that he will be lifted up. He will be crucified. He will be killed. He will be planted. The harvest of this planting, however, will be eternal life. Life as God intended life for all of us. The harvest will be an absence of fear in the midst of all that would seek to destroy us. Hope in a world desperate for hope. Victory over evil which only seeks to destroy us. Noted theologian and author Douglas John Hall says this: if Jesus is to be anything more than another name, another mystical figure for us, if he is to become in any sense Christ, Savior, or Lord, if his name and story are to arouse in us anything like faith, then we shall have to encounter him and not merely some ideas about him. We shall have to encounter him and not just ideas about him. You see, we must experience his death and resurrection in a very real way, so that we might stare down the evil that seeks to suck life from us and force us to cower in fear. Knowing that we will meet Jesus as we dare to die to all that the world enslaves us is the hope that we need. The hope that will give us the courage to be planted as a seed, knowing that abundant harvest will result. To be willing to die, to face down evil, can give us the strength to hold up God's intention for the world. God's intention for the world is peace. Shalom. Shalom based upon love for humanity and all of creation. To know that Jesus walks with us through the darkest and most evil times will give us strength to stare down the most powerful evil that can confront us. When we have died to all that would keep us back, we can be seen by all around us as servants of the one who invites us to die. We're coming to the end of this Lenten season. Holy Week is near. This year, we need to experience Holy Week more than ever before. We need to remember the events that are the core of our faith. We need to experience the walk with Jesus into death, because we need to know once again in a very real way the intimacy of the Last Supper on Maundy Thursday. We need to walk the way to the crucifixion on Good Friday and experience the emptiness of Good Friday and Good Saturday. We need the hope of Easter Sunday. But it is the most powerful only after we walk the way of death. We need the hope of Easter Sunday, but it is the most powerful only after we walk the way of death. We need to experience this on the deepest of personal levels, not simply as an idea or even as a story. We need to experience Holy Week because in the world today, we need to know that we can stare down evil because Jesus meets us in the midst of the worst possible evil. No dictator, no government can destroy us. We need Holy Week this year because so much seeks to tear us down. We can walk the walk of Holy Week, surrendering to death, but in doing so, we're claiming life. As resurrected seeds of God, we become bearers of the news of the new covenant of which Jeremiah spoke, that Maury read just a few minutes ago. The good news, the gospel, is that as we stare down evil, Jesus is there to give up life and to give up power. This is the good news we celebrate as we taste and are touched by the sacraments. This is the good news that brings us new life, new courage in the face of that which seeks to destroy. The good news is that nothing can take that hope from us. May the journey through Holy Week bring new clarity and hope to each one of us as we meet the Savior of the world, walking beside us, but especially as he dies, so that we might receive part of the great harvest, eternal life. Amen. Please join me in singing our hymn of the day, 574.